Ephesians chapter 2. Well, there goes. Praise God. Y'all have a good time. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Last week, and I'll just do it as a reminder just to cover certain things. One of the things looking at was in the Greek definition for the word disobedience. Not only does it mean to be obstinate, to be rebellious, you know, to resist, but it also means unbelief or disbelief. And so just as surely as disobedience is associated with disbelief, unbelief, if you will, obedience is associated with faith. Faith is obedience. Hallelujah. We're not justified by our works, our good deeds and things that we do. We are justified by faith. Faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And so when we're, but the thing of it is that when we're operating in faith, we're operating in obedience because, you know, after all, the Bible says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God, that's one of the scriptures that we have up on the wall now as we're praying. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I believe the Amplified says, who diligently seek him out. And seeking is a pursuit, you know. It's going after him. And that's a lifestyle for us. It's not just a one-time thing. We wake up daily with our mind set upon the courts of the Lord, set upon seeking him not just for things, but seeking him for guidance, direction, instruction, seeking him to glorify him in all that we do. He wants us to seek him. Hallelujah. He never would have said it if he didn't want us to do it. And he says that he's a rewarder of those who diligently, so it's not just seeking, it's a diligent seek. You know, that word stays at the forefront of your mind, that every day you wake up, and if you haven't done it, you feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost that says, you know what? You haven't sought God. Hallelujah. And you know what you do? Ooh, forgive me, Lord. Sorry, I got too busy, too caught up with all of the responsibilities of the day, too caught up in all of the things that have happened. Lord God, forgive me. I am sorry. Because when I seek you, you reward me. Hallelujah. And you reward me to the degree of my seeking after you. He's a remunerator. In other words, the effort that we put in is the reward that we get out. Little effort, little reward. Great effort, great reward. That's how Dad is. Praise God. Amen. So, obedience, that's equivalent to faith. Disobedience, that's equivalent to disbelief. And so when we rebel against God, it's because we're not believing, we're not trusting him. And the thing of it is that he wants us to trust him. Why is trust necessary? Because trust says, even if I don't understand, even if I can't make any sense of what you're telling me to do, I trust you that what you're telling me to do is right. Even if it goes against my carnal mind, my carnal thinking, even if it goes against my history, even if it goes against, you know, the things that I built my life on, if you will, even if it goes against, you know, sound counsel that comes from the world, nevertheless, I trust you that this is the right thing to do. And we build our relationship with him through that, you know, to the point where it's like, man, I wouldn't do that. And it's like, well, you ain't me and I ain't you. This is what God wants me to do. Therefore, I'm going to do it. No matter what I look like in your eyesight, I'm not, you know, picking on you in particular, just looking, you know, if you look at somebody or if somebody tells you, you know, I wouldn't be doing all of that. You know, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be giving all that money to, oh, what money? Oh, what money? Like, as you're giving millions and, you know, thousands, you know, you're giving, you know, you're just giving everything to God. It's okay if God tells you to do that because he's got something better. Jesus wasn't lying when he was talking about the rich young ruler who came to him saying, good master, what must I do? And, you know, he's trying to figure out Jesus. They're trying to set traps for him. And Jesus is like, you know, I tell you what you do. Go sell everything you have and then give the money to the poor and then come and follow me. And the dude walked away sad and sorrowful. Why did he walk away sad and sorrowful? Because he had so much. But Jesus was telling him it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. His disciples, their mind was blown away because they're like, well, if the rich can't get saved, because they equated riches with godliness, if you will. God must truly be blessing them because of all that they have. And they're like, well, if the rich can't get saved, who can get saved? Because it would seem like God is just pouring out, but God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. But Jesus was saying this man trusts in his riches because there's not a person who has given up everything for my name's sake and the gospel who will not reap 100 times that which he gave up. And so Jesus was like, you think you're loaded, but I'll make you loaded. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come on and follow me. He thought he would lose everything. But actually, in losing everything, we gain everything in God. And it was just letting go. But his trust was in the riches themselves rather than God. And so Jesus hit him right in the heart. Boom! With the arrow. You know, he hit him right where it hurts because he's thinking that he's, you know, Mr. Goody Two Shoes and he got all of this wealth and all. And Jesus, you know, is like, what else shall I do? Okay, you want to know? I'll tell you exactly what you need to do because this is the thing that's hindering you. And so anyways, with that being said, We live by faith. We live trusting God. And if that man would have trusted Jesus, his life would have been better off than what it was. But instead, he walked away sad and sorrowful. He held on to his riches, but he, I don't know if his name made it to the roll call, you know, unless he got saved later on. Praise God. I just don't know. But here in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at those words, and it may sound simple, 2 + 2 = 4, but when we bring it to the forefront of who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God in the kingdom, we have to understand obedience is not a bad word. Disobedience is a bad word. And obedience doesn't bring us into bondage, but it actually brings us into freedom and liberty. Because we're no longer trusting in the things of this world or in our own ability to make things happen. We are trusting in the true and the living God. And God will do certain things or challenge us with certain things or speak to us, give us directions or instructions that will challenge our, I'll say it like this, security system. To where what we rest secure in, it will cause us to, ooh, I don't know about that. Lord, we got to talk about that. And it's like, Jesus is like, no, we don't need to talk about it. You just need to obey it. Well, I can't see that. Well, that's because you're looking with your natural eyes. You're not seeing in the realm of the Spirit. Even in our position in Christ, being risen with him, seated in heavenly places, right at the right hand of the Father, that's our position. Remember what I said to you last week, a statement that Pastor Rod made, and he was saying it in a negative way, but, you know, it operates that way and it operates this way too. Where you sit, you intend to stay. And so understanding that I am seated with Christ, risen with him, seated in heavenly places with him, where I sit, I intend to stay. I intend to stay in that position. I don't have to try and figure it out with my natural eyes. I don't have to try and figure it out with my mind. I have to believe it in my heart. And since I believe it in my heart, it's what I now live by on a daily basis. This is what God is calling us to. Live by what I teach you. Live by what I give you. Live by what I've shared with you. Know God based on his word and not based on the opinions of others, because everybody's got an opinion. Let your convictions be based on the word of God. The Spirit of God will bear witness to you what is truth. The Spirit of God will help each and every one of us to understand the truth. But know God through his word and not just by what other people have. Because everybody's got an opinion. You know, some things are just, that's just too much. I don't understand why you got to do all of that. Well, this is everyday life for us. We don't acknowledge God just on Sunday. We acknowledge him every day of our lives. And we live our lives according to his way, his view. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm living in the way of Jesus. I'm living according to the truth of Jesus. And I'm experiencing the very life of Jesus while I am yet here on earth, although I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that our lives are hidden in God in Christ Jesus. He says, when Christ returns, then shall our life appear also. Praise God. So the very life that we live now is not the life of Ephraim Finn, not the life of Diana Patton, not the life of Randy Galusha. The life that we live is the life of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and we are the body. And we carry out his good and acceptable and perfect will here in this earth. Amen? Amen. So let's move on. I love the book of Ephesians, and it has some great things to share with us. It just kind of like blows the natural mind. The natural mind cannot, and the natural man cannot. Paul's not only teaching here to the church at Ephesus, but it's for us today as well. But he said something to the church at Corinth, and he says, the natural man does not understand the things of God because they are spiritual, and the natural mind is carnal. It can't grasp. This is why we can't just rely on our carnal thinking. We have to rely upon the mind of Christ, if you will. We have to start thinking the way God thinks. We have to let him transform, renew, renovate the mind, and even on the inside. Remember, though the outward man perishes, and that does not mean you have to give in to sicknesses and diseases that try and attack your body, resist those things. You've been given divine health, so claim divine health. Amen? Don't settle for sickness. Don't let sickness rest comfortably in your body when you know that by his stripes you were healed. Amen? And so you start speaking that. But as we get older, the body changes because it goes, you know, it starts to decay. The effects of the curse, if you will, begin to manifest more and more as the years go by. But we still, on the inside, are getting new day by day. It's better when you feel good on the inside than just feeling good on the outside. You can look good on the outside, but inwardly you can be tore up from the floor up. Praise God, I just want to have fun with you. You can be messed up on the inside. You can be messed up in the mind. But the Bible says that God has given us not the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind, a sober, disciplined, clear-thinking mind. Now, if your mind is cluttered with all kind of thoughts and you hear about a clear-thinking mind, which would you prefer? Hallelujah. You want that clear thinking mind. So make the exchange. I give over. I rebuke this and I take on this. How is that happening? By continuing to pursue after God. By trusting in him. By doing what he says do. Because that's faith. It's not just being obedient for the sake of being obedient. That's faith, and faith is an act. An act on what? An act on what you believe. What do you believe? What you have heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you listening to me? Is it making any sense? So then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what you build your life on. And so honoring God obeying God's word is faith in action. And God gets pleased with that. And then what does dad start to do? Dad starts to reward. Hallelujah. And we can truly say we're blessed. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to go back to our lineage to see how cursed we are. We just keep looking up to our heritage and find out how blessed we are as men and women of the Most High God. Amen. So Ephesians will just kind of blow your mind in the sense of, what? I mean, if, praise God, you know, a person who uses drugs and they just start tripping. I love what Jesse DePlanta said. He said he used to get high and he'd take trips and wouldn't even leave the room. He'd be out there, thoo, 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 be so high, if you will. I'm not promoting getting high. Amen? So I'm not promoting that. But nevertheless, you start to, you know, and people start to, you know, they just start to trip. And they start seeing things differently. They start seeing things in the realm of the spirit. The spirit realm opens up to them. And, you know, the thing of it is that they're opening themselves up to the demonic realm out there, and they get influenced and enticed by that. But the thing of it is that we are of a sound, sober, clear-thinking mind. So when the word tells us that, listen to this. Okay, listen to what? Listen to just this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, not secondhand, firsthand. God gives you the spirit, not the natural wisdom, not the earthly wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and demonic, James highlights, but the wisdom that comes from above, first peaceable, then pure, if you will. It yields fruit to the glory of God, that God gives that to you. He's not giving it for us naturally so that we can go to Yale or Harvard or any other major university and then just, you know, just breeze through it and get our bachelor's and get our master's and get our PhDs and we can say, oh, look what God. No, it's not that. It's to understand how big, how wide, how tough, how mighty, how God is, how God brought things together, how he spoke things and they came into existence, how God is ruling and reigning over everything. Even though things may look like it's in a mess, because you're in God's hands, you know that this thing is going to turn around for glory and honor and praise. People say, man, I wouldn't do all of that if I were you. Do all that and more, because all that is a devil trying to get you to pull back while God is trying to push you forward. I hope you understand what I just said. God's trying to get more to us, and people will try and have us to settle for less. But something as simple as this, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What was that? Which he wrought or worked out in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. So he did that for Christ, but guess what? In doing that for Christ, he's also did it for us. That's what we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We're there with him. And so it says that he's not only raised from the dead and sat at his own right hand in the heavenly places, but verse 21 says, far above all principality. Those, now he's listing spiritual ranks in the spiritual realm, demon ranks, angelic ranks, if you will. Did you know that you're above angels? I mean the good angels. I ain't talking about the bad demons, if you will. We're above them. But we're preferred above angels. This is what David caught a glimpse of. How is it? What is man that you consider him? When I look at all of your creation, you made him a little lower than the angels, but then you exalted him above them. And so we're above them. The angels sit, they watch, they wait for a word from God. When God gives them a word, they're gone. They go straight to the assignment, completed, report, done. that strategic realm in the realm of the spirit. And the Bible is telling us that Christ is above all of this. And because Christ is above all of this, we are above all of that too, because we are in him and he is in us. And God wants that union to be so knit, if that's the best word I could come up with right now, so one, if you will, that it's just as if Jesus, because he is living in each and every one of us, and the very things that he did on earth are the very things that we do on earth. Why? Because he's at the right hand of the Father, which is what he said. Because I go to the Father, I'm sending the Helper. I'm sending the very Spirit that is in me and on me. I'm sending the Spirit to you and you and you and you and you, that what I did, you may do also for the glory of God. And what I did, you're going to do even more. And it doesn't mean that because there's so many of us. It's that, no, if each and every one of us mature, Paul talks about going unto the measure. I'm getting ahead of myself. But we go to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, if you will, that we continue to mature until Christ, as Paul told the church of Galatia, be fully formed within us. That it's no longer us who are living, but Jesus is now living in us. And we're still that husband, we're still that wife, we're still that son, still that daughter, we're still that employee, we're still that employer, but in everything that we do, Jesus gets magnified and Jesus gets manifest. For all to see and come into the saving knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. 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 You're not a pushover. You're not a wimp. You may have been insignificant before, but you became one of the most important people in the kingdom of God. That God may be glorified in and through you and in through us all as the church. Hallelujah. There are no unimportant parts in the kingdom, in the body of Christ. Every part is necessary. The Bible tells us, bestow honor on the less seemingly parts, the parts that don't seem or feel like they're important. Bestow more honor on them, because the ones that stand out in the forefront, they don't need no honor. I mean, yes, honor and respect in that regards, but they don't need all of the praises of men. The praise goes to God. But the thing of it is it's like every part, every joint supply, everything that God put in this body is necessary for this body. So everything that God puts in the body of Christ is necessary for the body of Christ. This is why we don't get to that place where, oh, feel important. I don't feel significant. I don't feel, and I'm not mocking that. It's just so many find themselves in that place when, no, you're an integral part of the body. You were specifically crafted by God, set in the body where it pleases him. Enjoy that to the fullest. That's where your life comes from. You know, if you're a kidney and you're trying to be a lung, you're going to be out of sync. You're going to be, and you're trying to do something that you weren't created to do. And so instead of helping the body, you cripple the body. But get you in your place, then you receive the fullness of God's strength and power and might to fulfill that position for the glory of God and the edification of the church. That's why Paul says, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel. I mean, it's like, be the best at it, praise God. Lord, ask the Lord. Lord, reveal to me the gifts that you've given me. Holy Ghost, use me in whatever capacity. I know 9 spiritual gifts. Let me name them out before you. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workers of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Holy Ghost, use me in some of those areas so that I can edify the body, because that's why you've given to us. Severally, as he will. Me consecrate my life to the point to where you can manifest out of me what you created me for. Because when I'm that part that you designed me to be and I fit in the body where it pleases you, oh, yeah, release your strength, Dad. Yeah, make this organ vibrant, functional, even if nobody sees. Hallelujah. So let me just give you an example. It's not like I'm saying anything about anybody. So, Lord, if the part that I'm in is just to clean up the tabernacle and make this place glorious for your glorious presence and for your people and for the sinners that you'll send that they may get saved, I'm going to clean this place like it's, my life depends on it. I've got to pour everything into it. Because I want it to glorify you. And you'll give me the strength, the energy. You'll give me the wisdom and the revelation. You'll even speak to me while I'm doing that. Because it's many of them who took the smallest, menialist, I don't know if that's the right word to use, menial task. And God used them to become great. Because nothing was too small for them. Nothing was too big for them. It took the small to get to the big. Hallelujah. And God wants to do such mighty things in and through all of us for his great name's sake. Hallelujah. Well, obviously, I'm out of time, but not out of word. But we'll pick it up next week. Okay, I'll stop. But you know that your word is so good that you want to keep going, especially when you get into that place where it just takes over. But anyways, you can go over Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll go to it next week if the Lord says so. But he talks about in verse 7 that in the ages to come, and I'll leave it right there. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, what? We'll talk about it next week. Praise God. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Yeah. We are so blessed. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Love each and every one of you. Pray that you not only love me, but love one another in this body. Let love be loosed in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Because love edifies, love builds up. Hallelujah. Love never quits, love never fails. Who God is love. Thank you, Master. It's the adhesive that keeps us together. So, Father, right now we thank you for tonight. Thank you for our guests that are with us. With us, and we pray that whatever you want to do in that, if it hasn't already been done, that you'll be able to do so to minister. Thank you for each and every one that is here under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that we all experience your goodness and your glory like never before. I pray even tonight when we lay down to go to sleep, dreams and visions come upon us. You just start ministering to us and downloading into our spirit. And you give us perfect peace and perfect rest. Anybody having trouble with sleep, sleep apnea, whatever they call those things in the name of Jesus, I speak the peace of God to you, that tonight you shall sleep and you shall enjoy your sleep. As a matter of fact, you'll sleep like a baby, undisturbed, until it's time for you to wake up. And when you wake up, you'll wake up refreshed. You'll wake up renewed. Your body will have it. By design, your body will have repaired itself of any type of physical damages and things of that nature, that you just feel so bubbly when your eyes open up tomorrow. You'll thank God and say, this is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But Father, as we leave this place, we don't leave your presence. Watch over us, protect us, guide us with your eye. Lead us safely to our destination so that no evil befalls us, no plague comes near us, no hurt, harm, or danger comes our way. Guide us with your eye. That your grace, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of Abba Father and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost be multiplied and increased in our lives. The Lord our God bless each and every one of you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household. Bless your entire household in the name of Jesus, that you may enjoy God. Hallelujah. That you may enjoy the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. name be over you. And then he watch over you everywhere you go. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agrees said amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Make sure you greet God.